not bathing in that, and I'm not letting you bathe me, Mummy. You know what? I moved up another step. I'm clean. Let Helen use it in the morning. My mother sighed the sigh of martyrs, stretched one hand over the bucket and the other out stop sign in my direction. She closed her eyes and began to pray. Helen swung back and forth on the squeaky half-door and grinned. I flashed her a breast.
Rub your body hard with all the bush,
my mother said when she had finished her prayers.
Your arms and legs, use the lemon on your face, everywhere.
She pantomimed a vague distance from her privates.
You hear me?
She and Helen left me alone, under my banner of silver stars. I scooped out every leaf, every piece of lemon and lime, and every last stinking Susie petal I could find. With a washcloth, I scrubbed my face, under my arms, and between my legs. Then, as I always did after bathing, I hand-washed my panties and hung them up to dry in the morning sun I wouldn't see. We were dressed and ready to go by 2:15. My suitcase of unsuitable clothes was packed and by the front door. My flight was at 6:30, and it would take little more than an hour to get to Piaco, but my mother, quoting the parable of the 10 virgins, insisted Mr. Herman leave, with plenty time to spare. By now my father had awakened and come out to sit on the couch. To ford the short distance from bedroom to living room, he had hopped awkwardly, holding on first to the bed's headboard, then the door jamb, and finally the back of the couch before lowering himself, breathing hard, onto the tattered cushion. Helen perched on the edge of a dining chair, and my mother stood next to the door glancing through the curtain. I sat next to Daddy. This was the last time we were all going to be together, for I didn't know how long. Soon we heard Mr. Herman's quick footsteps, then his little knock-knock on the gate.
All right, girl,
he called, and then clapped.
You're looking ready to go in the cold.
I tugged on the neck of my uncomfortable sweater.
Morning, Crane,
he said to my father, and reached for my suitcase.
Watch you back, Herman. It heavy, heavy.
Herman bent his knees deep, minding what my father said. Then Daddy said to my mother,
Why you don't move from by the door and give the man some room? Watch the door there, Herman.
My mother pursed her lips and stepped out into the gallery. She stuck her head back through the curtains.
You coming or you staying?
Hell got up and fate clouded my father's head as her goodbye. He and I were left alone. Well, Daddy, I gone. He pulled out a nip of babosh from the side of the couch.
Here, take a drink with me before you go.
Crane? My mother would give him silent hell for the rest of the day if she saw this, but I took a quick swallow of the bush rum and passed it back to him. He drank and tucked the small bottle away.
When you see you reach America, and you sleep and wake up in the morning, don't wash your face with cold, cold water. You hear me?
Yes, I said, as if this was the most important piece of advice I had ever been given. Mr. Herman's horn honked, and I jumped.
Go, go,
my father said,
before she come back to get you.
I laughed, and he laughed a little too.
You still have the parcel I give you yesterday.
I patted the purse on my lap. Inside, wrapped in newspaper, and then a piece of cellophane, was a pinch of dirt from our backyard.
Good. Don't forget to do with it, like I say.
I won't forget. The horn tooted again, and I got up, sure it was my mother who had told Mr. Herman to honk for me. You coming down? I asked. He nodded.
Go and bring the crutch for me.
I gave them to him, noticing that the padding meant to cushion his armpits was torn. The comfortable, Daddy.
Your mother taking them by Rodex later today,
he said, and I helped him up to standing.
You go. I coming.
I went out to the gallery, and my mother, sitting up front with Mr. Herman, beckoned me down. I ignored her and waited for Daddy.
Go down,
he said when he had cleared the curtains.
A coming.
I ran down the